You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Ah, there is life in Los Angeles, and there is life in my partner. It is Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio in for Greeny today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Oh, I know you're flying high this morning, my friend.
Carlin. Oh, Carlin. We're back. I feel like the Duke brothers from Trading Places. Randolph and Mortimer, when Prince Hakeem gave him the money and coming to America. We're back, Carlin. Lakers are back. I can dream now. I can dream now based on what I saw last night. And I get it. It's a shorthanded Pelicans team, but it's more about the Lakers than it was about the Pels. And the way they played last night, Lakers fans everywhere this morning, we can dream, baby. We can dream.
We will begin there. We will get to Justin Fields and the absurd thoughts around his future with or without the Chicago Bears. We will get to the Knicks and what's going on with Jalen Brunson, how well he's playing, but how much better things could actually be. But right now, let's roll.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Reeves dribbling around a pick from LeBron. Reeves at the free throw line. Bounce pass. LeBron to the rim. Fell in a bucket. LeBron was cracked in the face and had the peace of mind to lay it in anyway.
That was the Lakers on 710 ESPN LA as they get it done last night against the Pelicans with the new look. Lakers and Canty, the floor is yours. Have at it, my friend. Just go ahead and talk in floral fashion about the new-look Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, Carlin, we had the opportunity to talk to Brian Windhorst yesterday, and Windy said that that game was as close to a must-win regular season game as the Lakers could have, right? Because they traded away that first-round draft pick that they were holding on to for dear life in order to get rid of Russell Westbrook, but more importantly, bring more complementary pieces around AD and LeBron James, and you're starting to see the return on that investment in just the way that they play. Carlin, they pushed the pace unlike anything I've seen from this team over the last 3 years. They had 19 fast break points last night to New Orleans 6. I mean, when you have that kind of disparity, you're going to give yourself a chance to win games, but they started that game with a sense of urgency. The game was an 8-0 run for the Lakers after the tip, and it ended up being a timeout after D'Angelo Russell throws an alley-oop to Anthony Davis, in a spectacular play, by the way. And, Carlin, in that play, I noticed something. It was LeBron James in the pick-and-roll with D'Angelo Russell as the actual picker. So they went high pick-and-roll with D'Angelo Russell being the run, coming off, being the one that's running the pick-and-roll, LeBron James rolling off the pick, and then Anthony Davis backside on the action for the oop. And it felt like that was on repeat throughout the entire game. I lost track of the amount of alley-oops that D'Angelo Russell threw to AD and Bron. But that is exactly what the Lakers needed. Another player outside of LeBron James that could initiate offense, but also a player that can create offense, whether it's in the open court or in half-court sets. It takes so much pressure off of LeBron James. For as well as LeBron has been playing, now thinking about the prospects of him being off the ball, being a guy that could be a true wing scorer or a guy that can play in the front court, I just feel better about the load that they're putting on LeBron James and just the opportunity that D'Angelo Russell allows him to have in terms of his efficiency moving forward with this team. And then the other part, Carlin, that we have to talk about is the shooting on this team. And even though it wasn't a great shooting night from deep from the Lakers, they had six guys make three-pointers, six different guys, and none of them were named LeBron James or Anthony Davis. Because you have the threat of shooters on the perimeter now with Malik Beasley and Vanderbilt, Now all of, and D'Angelo Russell for that matter, now all of a sudden, there's more space when you play the two-man game in the half-court sets. There's more room to rim run if you're AD or LeBron. There's more opportunities to break defenses down off of the bounce. And so when you have that, all of a sudden now offense becomes a lot easier. Your pace becomes a lot better. And that's exactly what we saw on display last night. Mark Jackson couldn't stop glowing about how much the Lakers were playing with pace and their defensive versatility based on some of the pieces that they were able to bring back in that trade. This is a completely different team now, and I think it lends itself to getting the best out of AD and Bron. And if you got that, Carlin, then there's a chance that the Lakers not only get into a real playoff series, but have a chance to make a deep playoff run.
So all of a sudden, we're not worried about a 2027 lightly protected first-round pick. Right now, that is just some eighth grader somewhere. That's, you're not even thinking about that at the moment. And listen, you should feel great. Malik Beasley, in that vein of shooting, as LeBron called him after the game, Canty, a laser, can hit from wherever they need to hit. Guy who can shoot 37, 38, 39 from three. Here's LeBron after the game and how all these new pieces fit rather nicely.
And I think our skill set all kind of fit each other, you know, with Vando and D'Lo and Bees, three guys that just know how to play the game. We all just trying to get the ball popping, get the ball moving, you know, have equal opportunity, and everybody's trying to play to their advantage out on the floor. So, you know, tonight we had 32 assists, and in our starting lineup was at 9, 14, 20, 22 assists in our starting lineup. That's huge. So, you know, we want to try to continue that going forward.
And it's not just the assists, Carlin. It's cutting down on the turnovers, too. Only 11 turnovers by the Lakers and 8 points from the Pelicans off of those turnovers, as opposed to the Lakers defensively forcing 15 turnovers, generating 20 points off of takeaways. When you have that kind of discrepancy, like, you're going to have an opportunity to have a good offensive day. And Carlin, again, it allows LeBron, AD to be force multipliers. It allows the Lakers to get the best out of what those guys have to offer. And again, that if you're going to contend for a championship, you're going to have to get the best of LeBron and AD. At different points throughout the season, we've gotten the best out of AD or we've gotten the best out of LeBron. Never really at the same time with both of them. And so I think now with the pieces that they have around and with D'Angelo Russell being capable of being a 20 or 30 point scorer on any given night, that takes a lot of pressure off of those two guys.
I wanted to give you 4.5, 5 minutes to really feel good about what happened last night. Mm. Because I need to remind you that it's too little, too late. And that last night was one game. Now, if we're talking about the future of the Lakers, and this is a better, just a better assembly for 2024 and beyond, and keeping D'Angelo Russell long term, hey, I'm on board with you. On board with you. I've always liked D'Angelo Russell. There are few players in the league who are smoother in the way they are when they are at their best than Russell, and I know what the pitfalls are there. But as far as this year's concerned, I don't care that the Lakers have the third easiest remaining schedule. What I know is we're going to find out about what they can do right after the break. Because after the break, you're dealing with the likes of Golden State a couple of times, who's in front of you. You're dealing with Dallas. You're dealing with Oklahoma City, who's not great, don't get me wrong, but they're in front of you. I'm having trouble right now finding the teams outside of maybe Utah and Oklahoma City that is definitively falling out of it, because while you might only be 2 games out of 10th place and 3.5 out of 6th place, Canty, logistically what people forget is you still have to climb over somebody and they have to not make it. So I can't sit here and tell you, even if the Lakers are in the 10th spot, I'm going to feel great about what their prospects are for this season.
Well, I mean, if they get into a play-in situation and they're matched up against the Pelicans or, say, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you don't feel good about them being able to win a game and then win another one to get in the tournament?
I feel like their chances are better today. But even so, I still see the top-out level for the Lakers this year as a first-round ouster after a play-in.
Why would you say that, though? I mean, if they end up getting the 8th spot in the playoffs when actual playoff series start and they're going against the Denver Nuggets, you mean to tell me you have more confidence in the Nuggets than you do the Lakers playing the way that they played last night? Are you out of your mind? Carlin, they scored 38 points in the first quarter.
I understand, and it's one game, and it's a team that – yes, as the players game, that they
but
do.
We don't have a huge sample size with all of these new guys in the lineup with Braun and AD, and that's what I'm basing this off of. It's like it's hand in glove the way that it seems like it fits together right now.
Okay.
This is what it should have always been.
But it hasn't been. And what I'm saying, Canty, is the damage has been done already. And if you want to talk about – look, do I feel great about the Denver Nuggets this year? I don't. They're 41-18. And they are a very good team in the regular season. Postseason, I don't feel great about them. But I can tell you what, I absolutely would believe that the Nuggets would beat the Lakers in a first-round series.
No, I don't know about that.
What is the solution for Jokic for the Lakers if that were to happen?
I mean, Anthony Davis is a pretty damn good defender when he's healthy. The problem has been once we get to
the
postseason.
You just said it, when he's healthy.
But that's my point, though. I think with the lineup that they have right now, the addition of Mo Bamba in that second unit, you can spell Anthony Davis, give him more minutes off per game than you could in the past. And I think that's going to be beneficiary for him once we go in a stretch run of the regular season, gearing up for the playoffs. So I think that matters. That's the other thing that we're not talking about with this Lakers team, Carlin, is the depth. I mean, listen, when you've got five guys in the rotation that are on minimum salaries, you're going to ask a lot more from LeBron James and from AD. But now when you got Malik Beasley, now you got Jared Vanderbilt, now when you got Rui Hachimura, now when you have a guy like Mo Bamba, you can now take some of those minutes off of AD and take some of the pressure off of AD and utilize him when you need him most. And I think that's the most important thing to consider. The Lakers are now a team that's, you know, 8-9 deep in their rotation. You feel good about their second unit that's led by Dennis Schroeder and other guys. You feel great about the ability to be able to take LeBron James off the ball or take him off the court because you have another guy that can create for other players on the floor outside of Braun. Those are the things that matter in terms of making sure that the Lakers are their best selves once we get to the playoffs.
If I were the Laker fan right now, I would be very encouraged by what I saw last night, but I would be thinking about the second half of this season after the break as the setup for next year. I would be thinking about all those pieces, how they fit, and how I keep them there, and I don't try to introduce Kyrie Irving into the mix. Because I believe in what this group can be, but I still think we're a ways off, and I still think we are counting entirely too much on a player with more than a checkered injury history with Anthony Davis.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about the AD, but what I will say is, Carlin, that this is going to be an audition for all of the guys that came over in the trade, specifically for D'Angelo Russell. I know the Lakers are trying to put their best foot forward in presenting those guys the opportunity to be a part of the core moving forward because those guys are good basketball players. But I also think that when you look at the D'Angelo Russell situation specifically, he can become a free agent. But the Lakers, depending on how this thing shakes out at the end of the season, if things go well, then they could potentially convince D'Lo to take a team-friendly deal, and that allows them maximum flexibility in terms of the tradable contracts of players that they have on this team going into the offseason. That doesn't preclude them from making a move for Kyrie Irving, but I think based on how it turns out the rest of the regular season and the postseason, the Lakers will have options because they do have players on movable contracts.
One place to start was brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny today on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. In just moments, we will turn our attention to Aaron Rodgers. Why he needs to come out of the darkness sooner rather than later. We'll ask one of our insiders his take on this, and we have some breaking news in the NBA regarding a coach of a big-time team. We'll tell you about it in just moments. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
A little bit of breaking news coming out of the NBA as we speak. That's pretty nifty. Canty, the Celtics have named Joe Mazzulla their permanent head coach. They have removed the interim tag, and frankly, I don't know what more he could have done, considering how well things have gone for them this season. It was probably a foregone conclusion at the end of the year, but he gets that tag removed here right before the All-Star break.
Yeah, they have the best record in the NBA through 59 games. So, yeah, he's going to be the head coach moving forward. The only thing of consequence that this announcement means is that Ime Udoka is going to be one of the hottest names when it comes to teams looking for a new head coach after the regular season is over with. That's all that this announcement means.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits, go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. We hear from Aaron Rodgers and find out why it might be better for him to make a decision sooner rather than later. First up, though, what's one of the biggest hiring challenges in 2023? Standing out to top talent. So how can you break through the clutter and attract the most qualified candidates for your business? You can do it with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology sends you great candidates for your job, and you can send a personal invite to your top choices, which helps you stand out. Get your job noticed by the best and brightest candidates with ZipRecruiter. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREE. E-N-Y. Canty, we welcome in Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, as we talk all things about the future of the quarterbacks who are in question this offseason. Before we bring Dan in, here is Aaron Rodgers speaking on the Pat McAfee Show about his future.
So are you saying, like, can we count on talking to you next year on Tuesdays on your off day when you're playing for the Packers?
Listen, I would love to continue with it. It's a lot of fun for me. Regardless of what I decide to do, I would love to continue to talk to you guys in some capacity. We'll kind of meet that bridge when we get there.
Green Bay, hey, home sweet home.
18 years, man.
It's a long time.
That's always going to be home.
All right, Danny, we bring you in and we get your take immediately. I just want to ask your response to this statement. Aaron Rodgers might actually be better off making a decision as far as where he wants to play sooner rather than later because Derek Carr is going to have first crack at it.
Look, I don't know Aaron Rodgers' mind, but I doubt that he's very concerned about Derek Carr as competition, right? Like, I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you have every right to believe yourself to be the best option out there for whoever thinks they're quarterback away from the Super Bowl. So I think he's going to, again, my understanding of Aaron, and it's not direct knowledge of his thinking, but my understanding of Aaron is he's going to do what he wants to do on his own timetable, and I don't think that the Derek Carr situation is going to affect it very much. I think he probably knows who the interested teams are probably going to be, and I think he probably knows what the process is going to be like if he does want to be traded. And I think he's, you know, what is he doing right now? Sitting in the dark for 4 days, and then he's going to come figure it out? Like that, I think he's his own guy, and he has his own process. So I guess I disagree with that statement.
Dan, I know you've outlined the mechanics of how this trade would have to take place and knowing that it has to be a post-June 1 designation because of the structure of the contract. But could we see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers agree to some sort of trade in principle beforehand? Could we have insight as to what the decision is going to be before June 1 gets here?
Yeah, just to be clear, like after June 1st, if the trade is executed, then the Packers spread the salary cap hit, the dead money cap hit, out over a couple of years. So they'd only be taking a $16 million dead money this year instead of $40. You can't do a trade before June 1st and then designate it as a post-June 1st trade the way you can with a release. That's just not in the rules. So they would actually have to wait until after June 1st to make the move. They could restructure the contract in the meantime to make it easier to move, all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, what you would see is a deal probably agreed to. I mean, think about, like, you know, when Alex Smith got traded to from Kansas City to Washington. Remember, we found out during the Super Bowl week?
Yep.
Like that trade wasn't official till March 15th because no trade can be. So you could agree to the parameters of a trade and have it in place, and maybe it's reported, maybe it leaks out. And then it doesn't become official until June 2nd. But, you know, if you're going to do that, if you're the Packers, you're carrying a big cap number until then. If you're the acquiring team, you got to make sure you have the room. You wouldn't be able to trade a 2023 draft pick, right? Because that trade can't be official till after June 1st, and the draft is in April. So there are some complicating factors.
So, Dan, what you're saying is if Aaron Rodgers were to be traded away from the Green Bay Packers, then it would be likely that there would be some kind of restructuring that would take place with his contract to make it easier to move before June 1 so everybody could, you know, reap the benefits of that trade sooner rather than later?
Just to be clear, the dead money hit for the Packers would be the result of old signing bonus proration. So that redoing the contract as it currently stands wouldn't really help. They're going to have to eat that dead money no matter what if they trade him. So the question for them is, do you eat the whole $40 million this year, or do you wait till after June 1st and have 16 this year, 24 next year? So that's the Packers' issue to solve. The contract would probably have to be restructured in order to fit him under the acquiring team's cap, because his cap number this year when you get him is going to be about $60 million, which is what his scheduled, you know, salary and bonus structure is this year. So there aren't all teams that I know of that can just take $60 million and add it to their cap right now. But if you're Rodgers and you want to go somewhere, let's just say like it's the Jets, right? You work with the Jets and the Packers to redo the deal so that once you're on the Jets roster, the number's a little lower.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joining Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio. Dan, with Derek Carr, is he better off making a decision sooner rather than later? And when should we expect him to make a decision?
I would wait it out. Like, if I were Derek Carr, I'd want to keep my market alive as long as possible. He has the luxury of time. Carr, being released in the middle of a contract, can sign with any team at any time. He doesn't have to wait till March 15th, like a Jimmy Garoppolo or Daniel Jones or guys like that would. So, but if you're the only guy out there right now, and let's say it's you and Aaron Rodgers, and you know you're like the fallback plan, you know, to the Raiders, not the Raiders, bad example. Let's go back to the Jets. If the Jets are trying to get Aaron Rodgers and you know that you're their fallback plan, you want to wait that out and see if they get Aaron Rodgers, right? Because then if you're talking to other teams, now you have another team on the market that's bidding for your services and the price goes up. So I don't know why he would be in any rush. There's no real competition right now because no one else can sign but him. And, of course, as we mentioned, the Rodgers thing, there's a lot of variables to that. So I would let my market form. I would take a whole bunch of visits, and I would try and get the best contract I possibly could in the best situation.
Dan, we haven't seen a Super Bowl participant lose both coordinators to head coaching jobs since 1994 with the San Francisco 49ers. What do we anticipate seeing from the Philadelphia Eagles in terms of how they're going to fill those vacancies?
Well, they have guys on staff on the offensive side that I know they're high on. The quarterback's coach, Brian Johnson, is the one everybody has their eye on. I think the defensive side's a little trickier because there are guys they could promote, but I don't get the sense that there's the same kind of feeling on that side of the ball in terms of experience. Like, I know they had Vic Fangio on during the Super Bowl run as like a consultant, and I think he might have been a candidate to replace Jonathan Gannon if Gannon had gotten a job earlier in the cycle, but now Fangio's in Miami. So I do think that they will look around at the defensive coordinator landscape, and there are some good names out there still to be had in that realm. But I would think an internal promotion on the offensive side, which, you know, Nick Sirianni oversees that side of the ball anyway, and then they'll probably look around for a defensive coordinator because they thought very highly of Jonathan Gannon and didn't want to lose him, and part of that is because they weren't 100% sure they had the replacement on staff.
Dan Graziano, ESPN, NFL Insider. One last one for me, Dan. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and the Giants next week. The franchise tag window opens up. How do you expect this to play out?
Yeah, I think for the Giants, you really got to work on getting one of them signed so that you can franchise the other. And if you can't do that, you're running the serious risk of losing Saquon because you'd obviously franchise the quarterback. The quarterback's the higher priority. So, I don't know yet whether they're on the road with either or both of them on a contract. I think their ideal situation would be to sign both. But if you can't do that, I think it's very important to get one under contract so you know which of the other to franchise. They have until March 7th. That franchise tag window runs until March 7th. So they have a few weeks to figure it out. And Combine is in there, so a little face-to-face time with the agents. Sometimes that helps get things going. So, Giants have a – They hope they don't have a decision to make. They hope they can find a way to keep both. But, it all depends on what they want.
Danny, appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, joining Canty and Carlin. And for Greeny, what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. And they always have got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Canty, the Derek Carr thing, as it plays into Aaron Rodgers, I know what Dan's saying, and I am very sure that Aaron Rodgers doesn't give a damn about what anybody else is thinking about right now, okay? My thought on this, though, is I'm considering it for the last couple of days. Aaron Rodgers, in letting this play out longer, even if it's only one or two options, could potentially start to eliminate his options. And what I mean is Derek Carr can do it anytime, as we heard Dan decide. Any team can sign him right now, and that could happen at any moment. So that's one place where that would potentially eliminate him from going. And then, how long are teams going to wait for you? This is not last year or 2 years ago. I think it's a lot more likely that teams are going to have less patience on the Rodgers front to wait for him when you know there's a good chance he's not going to take part in your offseason program anyway. And you, frankly, have to figure out what you are doing as free agency starts and as the draft approaches. If you're Miami or Tennessee, teams like that, Canty, like, I don't want to sit around and wait. I can respect his decision to try to want to wait a little bit, but no, this is not something where you're going to hold us and the Packers hostage for very long.
Well, that's why I said all along, Carlin, that I felt like a team in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes would have to have an in-house candidate that they feel good moving forward with. Not great, but somebody that they feel good about. With Tennessee, you have Ryan Tannehill on a relatively team-friendly deal. And with the Miami Dolphins, you have Tua. Those are both potential destinations that Aaron Rodgers could end up. Would be a clear and obvious upgrade. Would certainly put those teams in the conversation for title contention. And yet those teams still have a case to be made for being playoff-caliber squads if they stay with the incumbent starter. So I thought those were more likely than the New York Jets banking their entire offseason and, quite frankly, their 2023 season on the prospects of Aaron Rodgers bestowing his good graces on him. Because, Carlin, we have to keep this in mind. Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh are going to be on the hot seat coming into next season, period. Mm-hmm. If they don't get to the playoffs, it is over. I don't care that you drafted the Offensive Rookie of the Year and the Defensive Rookie of the Year. You missed on the most important draft pick that you had, which was the second overall in 2021 in Zach Wilson, who is a bust. So you have to look at this as a situation where they need certainty at the most important position in all of team sports, at least guaranteeing them competent quarterback play with the rest of that roster. You're talking about a team that should be in the playoffs. Derek Carr can accomplish that for you. Why forego the opportunity to sign Derek Carr in hoping that Aaron Rodgers is going to be your quarterback when this situation unfolds later this offseason? I don't think that that's the path for the Jets or teams that are quarterback needy right now. I think that's the path for a team that would like an upgrade but can stay where they're at and still fight to get into the postseason.
Completely agree. And the problem there is also that if you're one of those other teams and you don't have that option, you're talking about wanting to get it solved with Carr, but if you don't have that other option, there are only one or two other teams that it's really worth bringing in Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts, I don't want to trade for Aaron Rodgers. I want to put myself in a position to have my long-term solution.
Well, and you have a top five pick if you're the Colts.
Right, right. But, I mean, just as an example, there are places, the Raiders are a place. Clearly, you could say the Carolina Panthers are a place if Frank Reich doesn't want to draft somebody and feels like with that defense they could win in short order.
The New Orleans Saints are a place.
New Orleans Saints are a place. Is Atlanta a place? Not really.
No.
No. They have Ritter, and we don't even know if they want to stick with him. If they want to go in another direction, they're more likely to try to draft somebody. Is Washington a place? Maybe.
Maybe.
But here's my point. These are not all teams that are lining up to win a championship right now if you're Rodgers. They're not. So do I want to end my career with a thud? That's the question I have to ask. Because we all know he's playing.
I would disagree with that. I think if you go to the Miami Dolphins, you have a pretty good shot at it.
Absolutely.
You know, if you go to Tennessee, you have a good chance at winning that division and, you know, a good chance of going on a deep playoff run because you have a really good head coach. So there are a couple of places that you could go. New Orleans with the NFC South being where they're at. Carolina, I think Carolina's going after a young quarterback just because of what their owner is saying. But I could see, you know, three or four places where Aaron Rodgers could go that would be a better opportunity for him to compete for a championship rather than staying in Green Bay.
Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The basketball and hockey seasons are heating up. Baseball just around the corner. Nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Not only does Vivid Seats have great ticket prices, they're also the official ticketing partner of ESPN. And with Vivid Seats rewards, when you buy 10 tickets, you get the 11th for free. Download the app or visit vividseats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Receive a reward credit equal to the average price of the 10 tickets purchased, excluding taxes, fees, and processing costs. See vividseats.com/rewards for terms and conditions. On the way, why one NBA team's successful season could have been a whole lot better. We'll explain in moments on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 points and 8 rebounds for the veteran center. Brunson on the logo, drives, steps back, three-pointer is good! Falling to the ground.
Jalen Brunson has played at a ridiculous level for the New York Knicks. It's Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. NBA's All-Star Weekend starts tomorrow night with the NBA Rising Stars game presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9 p.m. Eastern time on most ESPN radio stations. Canty, I can't get over what Jalen Brunson has done since coming here. He's been the Knicks' best free agent signing potentially ever. I mean, he's up there. He's, you know, Allen Houston right now is probably their best free agent signing. But think about this for a second. Over his last 20 games, he is averaging 30 points a game. 30. The Knicks have not had a player do that over a 20-game stretch since Patrick Ewing in 1990. I mean,
that's wild.
That's crazy talk right there. And he's just been that good. And his presence has absolutely done a lot to help unlock Julius Randle for where he was last year. But I hate to be a negative Nancy in this spot. Canty, this could look so much better with Donovan Mitchell.
Oh.
When you watch Donovan Mitchell against the Sixers last night, that's a guy that at the half had 8 points. Their team was down 25 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They had every chance to win that game down the stretch, and he finished with like 33. He's absolutely absurd. Can you imagine Mitchell and Brunson playing together if the Knicks had made that trade?
I mean, it would be tremendous, Carlin. It really would be. I mean, you talked about how great Jalen Brunson has been of late. Over the last 7 games, the Knicks are 5-2, and Jalen Brunson is averaging, Carlin, averaging 32 points a game. You combine that with Donovan Mitchell, and you have one of the most dynamic backcourts in the Eastern Conference. And you certainly become a team now that is going to be firmly within the top 6. So right now, they're a game in front of the Miami Heat for that 6th spot. I don't think that any Knicks fan is comfortable being in that position, knowing the track record that the Heat organization has. But Carlin, if you had Donovan Mitchell, you're talking about this team potentially being a top 4 team in the Eastern Conference. But that's where Cleveland is, because they were willing to do what the Knicks were unwilling to do, which is include players and assets to the point where it made more sense for Utah and Danny Ainge to reset their franchise with the package that the Cavs were sending out to the Jazz, as opposed to what the Knicks were doing, which was trying to be, I don't know, conservative in what they wanted to offer rather than just jumping out of the window.
Well, what's RJ Barrett doing now?
But that's the point, though, Carlin, and I was going to bring that up, and I'm glad you went there. I don't understand the Knicks' reluctance to include RJ Barrett if that was a sticking point for the Utah Jazz, because here's the thing. Before the contract that they gave RJ Barrett, that is a very tradable asset, a young player with a lot of upside that was a top 3 pick in his draft class. It made sense to include him in the deal if you were Utah at that point. And for the Knicks to say, no, we want to hold on to whatever potential that RJ Barrett has, rather than going after a top 12 to 15 player in the NBA in Donovan Mitchell, a bona fide all-star and a potential all-NBA guy in any given year, rather than going after him in getting R.J. Barrett and putting R.J. Barrett in a trade, you want to hang on to R.J. Barrett. That makes no sense to me, Carlin. I don't understand it. And now I don't know what Leon Rose is going to utilize all of those draft picks for. I mean, you can't make all of the picks, so you're stockpiling picks to essentially be able to flip them for something. If it's not for Donovan Mitchell, then who's it going to be for?
I mean, we're talking about guys who are freshmen in high school right now. That's what we're stockpiling. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? And this is why it was just always so ridiculous. And everybody's so afraid, oh, Danny Ainge is trying to absolutely fleece the Knicks. Well, duh, this is what you do when you have the superstar player. You try to get as much as humanly possible, and they were not willing to go as far as they needed to. Ridiculous.
It's absurd. And the thing of it is now, the Knicks have a team that's capable of being in a playoff series, but I also think they have a team that ceiling is capped on a first-round exit. I think that's who the New York Knicks are. If you get a player like Donovan Mitchell, not only are you talking about being in the playoffs, but you're talking about being able to go on a deep playoff run. You need a superstar in order to win this league. The Knicks don't have that right now.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.